Well, praise the Lord.
Michael.
And we got a friend back from Ohio.
Right? Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, one thing I'd say, you know, folks, those of you who are sitting out here, I mean, and if you've ever stood up in this place, you know how important it is you need for other folks to pray for you. And I tell you, a number of us are coming down from Vermont. And it would have been pretty comical if you'd been in the car with Charlie, the guy back there, and I today, because I'm sitting there hitting myself, trying to keep myself awake as I'm driving down here. So do keep us in your prayers as we make these trips, because it is a it is trying at times. But we thank you very much for that, and we thank God for the opportunity to come back here and minister the Lord Jesus Christ to you guys. And let's just enjoy ourselves in the Lord. Let's let the Lord free us. Amen. Because he came to set the captives free.
Amen. Amen.
And he wants his people free. Amen. Amen. All right, what do you got for me, Rick?
I got one that we don't normally do. It's okay. Kind of an oddball, especially right at the beginning of the service.
And what's that?
But it's a very good... You like that? It is unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul.
Amen.
Well, all right, now we're going to do something different.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. You know, one thing I like in that song is where it says, let me not be ashamed.
Amen.
Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Now, I say this because, look, there's another place, one of my favorite places. Scott knows this because over in Romans 5, it talks a little bit about that. And look, we got folks here, a lot of folks here who are Christians. Okay? Praise God. We hope some of the folks from the highways and byways may be listening on the radio. You know what I mean? Maybe some of you who know some folks who are sitting out there in the highways and byways will invite them in. Or maybe lasso them and drag them in. You know, whatever you got to do. But here we have folks who are Christians. And I find as Christians, one of the things that happens with us is that we, you know, in walking this Christian walk, a lot of times we suffer troubles. We have circumstances and situations in our life that aren't so comfortable. And I just want to read one thing out of Romans 5 here. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God, mind you. It doesn't say peace with the world. The world obviously nailed Jesus Christ to a cross, so I don't think peace with the world is one of the guarantees we get. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You know, there are people here, I'm sure, who in their Christian walk in some ways wonder how they can end up here today. Because there have been times when they wanted to flee. There have been times when you've wanted to run. There have been times when doubt has seemed to just overtake you completely. And yet, look, the Lord has brought you here today. And then it goes on. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed,
Amen.
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. Look, I've been a Christian now for 9.5 years, and I've had my moments, my years sometimes, definitely weeks and months where things didn't seem to be all that cool. But the Lord has brought me to this place, and the experience that I gained out of that is what gives me the courage to stand here today and know, not wonder, and know that my Lord is with me and that he will bring me to that end that he has for me. He cannot fail.
Amen.
He cannot fail.
Amen.
He cannot fail.
Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to have another song, and then Ralph, you get ready because you're going to be sharing your testimony here tonight. And watch, you know, when I sing like this. Because people don't want to hear me sing, I'll tell you what. But when I talk in the microphone, I put it up there, my lips just about touch this thing. So you're going to have to get right in and eat this thing, all right? All right, let's play. Now, Ralph's a brother that came from California, I believe, and we met him just the other night, right, Ralph?
Yes, that's right.
So he's going to share his testimony. It's going to be the first time for almost all of us. I know I got the abbreviated version. I look forward to hearing it. Thanks a lot, Ralph. Here you go.
First of all, I want to pray before I speak. Holy, wonderful Lord, God, Father Jehovah, Lord God Almighty, we come before you through the holy, wonderful, glorious, precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that the name of Jesus Christ shall be magnified glorified, exalted, and lifted up in this place here tonight. And that your presence, your awesome holy presence, and your glory shall be manifested in and through and about all the people here tonight. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share a testimony here tonight that's quite awesome. We serve a wonderful, glorious, awesome God. And our Lord, God, Father Jehovah, can do all things. I just wanted to say, praise the Lord, for His word was sent and healed me. For I was born blind, but now I can see. I was lame, but now I can talk. I was dumb, but now I can talk. Defective heart and defective kidneys, but by Jesus' holy precious blood and by His stripes was I set free. Underdeveloped lungs, epileptic and retarded. But when Jesus raised from death, all my diseases departed. Praise the Lord. My mother, while she was carrying me, contracted the German measles. The German measles stopped the development of the child. As a result of the German measles, I was born severely, physically, and medically underdeveloped. The doctors told my parents I was too physically and medically underdeveloped to live, and to put me in an institution and leave me there. But my mom wanted to keep me home for as long as I was to remain alive. Here, Junior, you can sit down for a few minutes. As a result of the German measles, I was born blind. I was born epileptic. I was born with cerebral palsy. I was born with defective heart. I was born with defective kidneys. I was born with underdeveloped lungs. And I was born mentally retarded. The doctors told my parents I was too, I wouldn't live to see my first birthday. I died temporarily as an infant several times. Twice I died totally and was in the hospital morgue. Now, every time you die, you have to go to the hospital morgue before you're sent to the regular morgue to determine the cause of death. Well, praise the Lord, both times the Lord brought me back before they determined the cause of death. The first time I died, I got double pneumonia, bronchial pneumonia, and when they put me in the hospital, I got weaker and weaker, and I got the flu, and I got weaker and weaker and went into a coma. And I woke up, and I stood on this great fluffy stuff, about a half a block from this big pearl-colored dome. And there was two men standing on each side of this dome, dressed in bright, white, shiny robes. So I walked up to one of them, and I said, "Hey, mister, what is this place?" And Jesus looked at me and says, "Why, this is a place of eternal life." I went, "Oh, what's that mean?" And he says, "That means when you live forever and ever." I went, "Oh, and who are you?" He says, "Why, I'm the Lord Jesus Christ." I said, "Oh, yeah, I heard about you in Sunday school." And he says, "That's right." I said, "Well, Jesus, what's that big pearl-colored dome?" He says, "Why, that's the entrance to heaven." I said, "Oh, yeah, I heard about heaven in Sunday school, too." And he says, "That's right." I said, "Well, Jesus, could I please see what it looks like behind that pearl-colored dome?" He says, "Yes, you may." And this pearl-colored dome, when it opened, it became clear. And when I looked in, I was looking through these gold-colored glass robes. They were golden color, but you could see through them like glass. And they went on so far, you couldn't see the end of them. Over to one side of me, there was this great big giant tree with all the bleeding fruit on it. And it was all lit up bright and shiny like a Christmas tree. Over to the other side of me, I saw these buildings. They didn't look like a house or a castle. But they were all lit up bright and shiny, and they had all these pretty glittery stones all over them. And the walls seemed to be made out of a rainbow substance. And so I said, Jesus, that pretty, could I go in? And Jesus says, "No, you may not." I said, "How come, Jesus?" He says, "Because it's not your time to be here." I said, "How come I'm here, Jesus?" He said, "Well, your body died and your spirit came to be with me." I went, "Oh, what's a spirit, Jesus?" And Jesus explained to me that the spirit was a part of my being that lived after I died. And so I said, "Oh." And then, Jesus said, "You must return now." I said, "Okay, goodbye, Jesus." And the next thing I knew, I woke up and I was in the hospital morgue. They had a sheet over me, and they had a bright light over me. Now, as a baby, I was born totally blind, and they removed the cataracts, and they told my parents my eyes were too underdeveloped to ever see more than light and shadows. So when I woke up, I saw a little bit of light, I pulled the sheet back, and there was this man standing over me with this big long needle. So when I reached up to see what this thing was, I went, "Hey, mister, what you going to do with that big long needle thing?" And he goes, "Duh!" And he throws the thing down and runs up the stairs and gets the nurses and the doctors, and they're all the big mass confusion, and they couldn't figure out what happened. So they just told my parents, "Well, Mrs. Anderson, we almost lost your little Ralphie, but we were able to revive him." Uh-huh. Well, we know who revived me, praise the Lord. And so God did two small medical miracles at this time that were medically impossible. First of all, my heart only had three chambers. The fourth one was never complete. And the skin went from like this way back over this way. So it created like a fourth chamber. Now, before that, my heart would, the blood would circulate through the heart and would go out and it would spurt out the third chamber. And it would always spurt. So I was a blue baby for 7.5 years. Every time I did anything strenuous, I'd turn blue and fall down. I'd be real hyper 1 minute, I'd turn blue and fall down the next minute, or I would have a penny mal seizure and kind of not know what I was doing. So that's the way I was. So the skin went over this way and created the fourth chamber. Now the medical explanation was my heart herniated, but my explanation was God fixed it. Praise the Lord. Because after that, my heart was a lot stronger. Sure, it was still enlarged, the valves were still wrong, and it still had a problem, but it was a lot stronger. After that, I didn't turn blue. And so, my retardation level was only like that of a two-year-old child. I spoke in words like mama, candy, water, just simple things. I didn't relate to my toys or to the other children. All of a sudden, I started speaking in sentences and relating to the other children. And so they thought maybe they made a wrong diagnosis, but they found out by the time I was 12, I was still acting like an eight-year-old. So I still had some retardation, but I was a lot better. Now, until I was 16, I did pretty good. I got to where I could get around with the other children and relate to the other children. I still rocked like this. I still made funny noises. I still copied all the cartoon characters on the TV. I was like a recorder. I copied everything. And so, anyway, before I was 16, I could walk, but I kind of walked like this. And my neck and my shoulders would pull like this. Well, when I was 16, I got a condition called encephalitis. Now, encephalitis is a disease that attacks the nervous system and the brain in the back. It's often called a sleeping sickness. It swells the brain up. Now, if a normal person gets it, they lose some memory and some coordination, and they sleep uncontrollably for 3 or 4 months, but they come out of it. But if an infant or an elderly person or a person that's sickly gets this thing, it hits them very severe. And so because of my other condition, it hit me very severely. I went into a coma, and I came out of it totally paralyzed. I couldn't sit up. I couldn't turn myself over. I couldn't pick my head off the pillow. I couldn't swallow properly. They had to feed me baby foods and feed me intravenously. After about 3.5 years, they got my movement back, but I had no control over what I did. If I wanted to reach out for this microphone, I'd come around like this, come down. I might get a hold of it, I might go up and toss it. And so they took this. They had me in a wheelchair, but I folded it like a pretzel, so they took this body brace and put this on my body. Now, this was only made to hold my body straight so I could sit up in a wheelchair. It wasn't really made for me to walk in. And so I was in that body brace. I was about 21 years old, and I was rolling around selling Batman costumes. And I rolled up to a man, and I asked him if he'd like to buy a Batman costume. And he said, "I'm sorry. I don't believe in those kinds of things for children. A child should have only one hero, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ." And so when he said that, I thought, oh, boy, I'm not going to sell this guy anything. And then he said, you know, children see these in the funny books and the newspapers and on the TV, and then they find out that they're not real. And then when you try to tell them about a wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, who they can't see or hear physically, it's confusing to them. So I went, okay. And then he said, did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and his blood was shed for your sins? I said, oh, yeah, because I heard that in Sunday school. He goes, well, praise the Lord, do you believe that? Well, you know, I thought everybody that went to Sunday school believed that, so I went, uh-huh. And he said, did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ rose again and is alive now, and if you ask him, he'll come in and dwell with you, and you can dwell with him? I said, oh, yeah, because I heard that in Sunday school, too. Now, they taught us about the stories about Jesus, but they never taught us about being born again. My sister said Jesus was like Santa Claus, and I said, no, Santa Claus doesn't have a church like Jesus does. So I knew there was something more to Jesus than like Santa Claus. And so, anyway, then this man asked me a very strange question. He goes, praise the Lord, you must be born again. Are you born again? I kind of scratched my head. And I looked at him and I went, well, I don't remember being born the first time too well. I guess I could have been born again. And so he says, you don't understand. So he showed me the scripture where Nicodemus came to the Lord by night. Now, Here's the problem with the Pharisees. The Pharisees really knew who Jesus was because of the Scriptures. But their problem is, as long as God was up there and they were down here, everything was cool. But when God became a human being, it threatened them because they wanted to run, they wanted to control the church, the religion, and the finances, and everything. And that's why they didn't like Jesus. But Nicodemus was seeking for the truth that would set him free. So Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, Nicodemus, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus says, "How can that be? How can I enter into my mother's womb when I'm full grown?" And Jesus said, "What is born once of the water is water, and what is born once of the Spirit is Spirit." My friend went on to explain to me that when you're born of the Spirit is when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. You accept the fact that He was the perfect sacrifice. His blood was perfect, was the perfect sacrifice to cleanse you and free you from all unrighteousness. You accepted the fact that He was Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and you asked His Spirit to come in and dwell with you. So I did what He said, and I received the Lord. And He said, He will sup with you, and you can sup with Him. I says, "What does that mean?" He says, "That means when you can talk to Him, and He can talk to you." Well, He was referring to the Word of God, how that when the Word of God, when you're born again, you have a new, you're a new creature. Behold, all things become new. And the Bible is opened unto your understanding where it wasn't before. But I couldn't read the Bible, and I couldn't understand it because I was retarded and blind. And so I just started talking to Jesus, and Jesus started talking to me. And I would go to church and say, "Jesus told me this, and Jesus told me that." And they would say, no, Brother Ralph, God doesn't talk to us like that anymore. Well, I went, "Well, that's the only way He can talk to me because I can't read." And so I developed an intimate relationship with the Lord. And so I would say things every once in a while about the Word of God, and they would say, "How could Ralph know that? He's mentally retarded." But you see, there is no such thing as a retarded spirit. When you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are born again 100% perfect in your spirit. Your mind and your body are still imperfect, but your spirit is 100% perfect. And the more you walk in the spirit, the more your mind and your body becomes perfected, little by little. We're going from glory to glory. That's what the Word says. From glory to glory, He's changing me. And so, I started walking with the Lord, and then when I was 22 years old, I got a severe kidney infection. Now, my left kidney was only partially developed. My right wing was fully developed, but the valves were in wrong, and the kidney was turned over the wrong way. So, the left one didn't hardly work, and the right one worked, but not very good. And so, when I got sick, they both go haywire. And so, my kidneys went out, and they put me in the hospital, and they thought they cleared it up. So they sent me home, but it came back upon me, and they gave me a different antibiotic. So the two antibiotics were fighting each other, and the kidney infection was fighting me. And they said, "We're sorry, there's nothing we can do. He's not going to make it." I went into a coma, and I cried out. I said, "Lord, help me, remember me." I lost all my five physical senses, like hearing, seeing, smelling, touch. It's like I had a mind without a body. I said, "Lord, help me, remember me." And the hand of God came down upon me, and just zoop, pulled me up through the tunnel of lights, and bam. Again, I was standing in that gray fluffy dust that I have from that pearl-colored dome. And this time when I saw Jesus, I said, "My wonderful Lord Jesus Christ," I started running towards Jesus, and He had His arms wide, open wide, ready to receive me, shining with His eyes of love, shining with love and acceptance. But He was shaking His head no like this. So when I got up to Him, I said, "My wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, what is it?" And He says, "Oh, Ralph, my son Ralph, it's still not your time to come. You must go back." I says, "Oh, my wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, please, Lord, I don't want to stay here. I mean, I don't want to go back to my sick couple body. I don't want to go back to that messed up world. Please let me stay here. I'll do anything. I'll even make a deal with you." And so Jesus smiled at me and He says, "Well, Ralph, if you listen to what I have to say first, I'll give you the decision whether you want to stay or not." So I thought in my heart and my spirit, "Okay, I'll listen to Jesus and I'll say let me stay." But He knew what I was thinking. He looked at me like, "Oh, yeah, that's what you think." And then Jesus said, Ralph, I know you love me very much, don't you?" I said, "Yes, I do, my wonderful Lord Jesus." And He said, "And I know that you've been happy with me, even though you've been sick and crippled and blind, haven't you?" I said, "Oh, yes, I have, my wonderful Lord Jesus." And He says, "And I know you love your friends very much, too, don't you?" I said, "Oh, yes, I do, my wonderful Lord Jesus." And He says, "And I know you would want them to learn to be happy with me, even though they're sick and crippled and blind, like you are, wouldn't you?" I said, "Yes, I would, my wonderful Lord Jesus." And He says, "And I know you would want them to learn to be... that you want them to learn about me so they could come here and be with you and me for eternity, wouldn't you?" I said, "Yes, I would, my wonderful Lord Jesus." And He says, "Well, Ralph, if you stay here, how will they know about these things? For I have not very many people on earth who are sick and crippled and blind who are happy with me, as you are. I says, you're right, Jesus. I have to go back and tell them. And Jesus said, because you are returning for my glory, I shall do a great and mighty thing in your life that will help many people. Now, I didn't know what my wonderful Lord Jesus Christ was speaking of this time. I just know when I got back, I thought, oh, no, he outsmarted me. I wanted to stay, and he made me make my own mind up to come back, and I didn't want to. Yeah, that's what God does with us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, I said to Jesus, before I go back, could I see what's like in heaven? And Jesus looked back at my body, and he looked at me, and he says, because you are returning for my glory, I shall grant it, but not for very long. And so again, this pearl-colored dome opened, and again I saw the gold-colored glass roads. Now in heaven, like I said, you could see a million miles away as well as you can see across the room. And again I saw this tree with all the leaves and fruit on it, and again I saw the mansions, you know, with all that bright and shiny and everything, with all the glittery stones and the walls made out of a rainbow substance. Well, one time somebody asked me, Ralph, did you ever get to see the inside of the mansions? I said, no, but I asked the Lord if I could reveal what I knew. Because when you're in heaven and you're with the Lord, you know things that other people don't know. And some things you cannot repeat. And the Lord said, yes, I would be able to repeat what I knew. And so, a mansion in some place, the Bible says, behold, in my kingdom there are many mansions, and were not true, I would not say so. In some places it says, I go to prepare a dwelling place. Now, a mansion is not a building such as we would understand a building. It's a dwelling place. Now, on this earth, whatever you have desired in your heart to live would be in your mansion. For example, if you've always wanted to live by a lake or a river or a mountain or a jungle or whatever, that would be in your mansion. Now, I'm going to have a forest in my mansion with all animals, but they'll all be tame. So when you come over to visit me, they'll all be friendly. Praise the Lord. And so the Lord showed me that a dwelling place is what you've always desired to have in your heart. And so that's what the Lord shows me. All of a sudden, I looked up and I saw this angel just briefly go by. And the one thing I noticed about the angel, that in the picture they draw him with wings like a bird, this angel's wings were triangular-shaped, and they were clear, and they had rainbows running through them. This particular angel had a long flowing type gown, kind of a semi-white gold, and it was lit up like a lamp. The face was young like a child, and it had long flowing hair. And it didn't look like a boy or a girl. I don't know if they had feet. I don't know what size it was. It just briefly went by. My attention was immediately directed to this great big giant tree with all the leaves and fruit on it. There was all that bright and shiny, like a Christmas tree. So as I walked over to it, it was so humongous, it engulfed me as though I'd walked into a building. I reached up to squeeze a piece of the fruit to see if it was ornamental or edible, and as I did, I noticed that the fruit was edible, but it wasn't for me to eat at that time. I realized I shouldn't walk any further in, and I realized that it was time for me to leave. And so as I started to walk out, I looked at my reflection in this gold-colored glass road, and behold, I looked very much like our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I saw Jesus, I said, my wonderful Lord Jesus Christ, I'm ready to return for your glory. And he says, so shall it be. And he nodded his head. And the next thing I knew, I woke up and I was in the hospital morgue again. This time, they had a linen shortage, so they just laid me on a cold bed slab, totally naked, in the way in the corner in the dark area. So when I woke up, I'm going, I'm far away. Because, see, when I did gain the ability to speak, it was very difficult to talk.
I learned the dark line.
And it was hard to understand me. But anyway, I went,
I'm falling.
I said, I'm freezing. So this Mr. Mortician, he's on the other side of the room, and he's going, I'm flipping out. I got to get out of here. I'm hearing voices. I'm going nuts. I'm having a fit. I got to get out of here. I went, I said, it's not in your imagination. And he went, huh? And he looks up and goes, bah! I'm going stupid, nuts, crazy, I'm out of here. He starts running up the stairs and going, help, let me out of here. And this nurse comes, what's the matter with you? I don't know, there's somebody down there and moving around talking, I got to get out of here, I'm going stupid, nuts, crazy. She says, will you calm down? You know that muscle spasm himself while I was up for the dead. He said, well, this man got my muscle spasm in his mouth. He's talking. What's he saying? I don't know. I think he's cold. I don't know. He said he's freezing. Go down and find out yourself. I'm taking a permanent vacation soon. So So the nurse comes downstairs, and I told her the same thing. I said,
Aphoria.
And she goes, oh, my goodness. Uh-oh, there's something wrong here. This isn't normal. And she runs upstairs, and she gets the doctor. Pretty soon there's two doctors, then five, then 15, then 30. And they're all arguing back and forth. Who pronounced this man dead? How long has he been in the morgue? What's he doing in the hospital? What's he doing here? And see, their problem was only one person knew I had cerebral palsy. The other ones didn't understand because, first of all, dead people don't talk, but live people don't talk the way I was talking. They couldn't figure out whether I was dead or alive or in between or what was going on. They were totally flipped out. So I grabbed one of the guy's coats and I went,
I'm falling.
He says, quick, run upstairs and get some of those warm blankets for people who are in shock. Well, I'll tell you, coming from a coal bear slab, coming from heaven to a coal bear slab is total shock. Woo! So they ran up and they put these blankets on me and they put me in a gurney, just like a bed with wheels, and they rolled me up in front of the head nurse's desk. And she was about to confirm to my parents that I was gone. And she was waiting for the confirmation. And the young nurse comes by and the head nurse says, what's this patient doing here and who is he? And the young nurse goes, I don't know, ma'am. And the head nurse says, well, look at the chart. So she puts up the chart and says, it says Ralph Anderson, ma'am. She says, that can't be. He's in the morgue. I'm waiting for confirmation to call his parents. And the young nurse goes, I don't know, ma'am. And so I pulled the sheet back and went, And the nurse goes, huh? What's this? Who's responsible for this? Go get the head nurse. Who's responsible? Go get the head nurse. And the other nurse goes, but ma'am, you are the head nurse. Well, go get the head doctor. Go get somebody. I don't know what's going on here. And pretty soon the head doctor comes down and she says, isn't this Ralph Anderson? He looks at charts. Yes. What's he doing here? Well, I don't know. When he's supposed to be in the morgue? I guess so. When he's supposed to be dead? I don't know. I guess so. Boy, the head doctor, how come you don't know anything? So they put me back in my room. Now, the nurse that took care of me was a born-again, filled with the Spirit Christian. And so when I told her, I don't know what's going on, it's not like it was in the refrigerator, and where's dead people, but I don't know what's happening, and I don't know why they put me down there and what's happening. And I said, when I ask anybody anything, they tell me to shut up or I'm crazy. Well, I had such a hard time speaking, she could understand me, but other people couldn't. So finally, she said, honey, I don't care what the doctor says, honey. She said, honey, I'm a born-again Christian, filled with the Spirit, and I don't make no mistakes, honey. She says, I'm the one to pronounce you to, honey. But she says, I would believe in God to raise you up. I'll wait till you get cold stiff before I pronounce you dead, honey. You was already starting to go to rigor mortis, baby. And she says, I waited till you got cold stiff, and I decided it was too late. I better send you on to that morgue, honey. I send you on to that morgue, and the next morning when I come back, you were just coming out of that place, honey. I don't care what the doctor says. You was dead, gone, dead. I'm a Christian. I don't make no mistakes. She went all over the hospital and went, woo, glory to God. Jesus raised my patient from the dead. Because he was dead, gone, dead. I'm a Christian. I don't make no mistakes. Woo, hallelujah. Well, they had to give her a couple of weeks off because they couldn't handle her. So she confirmed that I was dead almost over 24 hours. Now, I praise my wonderful Lord Jesus Christ that I was able to have a round trip so I could come back and share with you all that it's there waiting for us. And it's all there for us. Praise God. I mean, we know it's true because the Word of God says so, but I have had the pleasure of having a round trip. Now, I don't want another round trip. The next time I'm on a one-way. Praise the Lord. Those round trips are just too much on me. So anyway, somebody read me Revelations several years after this happened. And Revelations described everything I saw. Now, before somebody read me Revelations, I knew what happened to me, but because I was still mentally retarded, I didn't comprehend it fully. When I was healed, somebody read me Revelations, and they described to me. And Revelations described everything I saw, for in Revelations it says, in my kingdom, there is no night, no day, for the glory of God is the light of heaven. That's where everything wants to light up, bright and shining. It talks about, in the New Jerusalem, there are 12 gates, and each gate is made out of a single pearl. And that's why I saw this big pearl-colored dome. It talks about the streets of gold like crystal glass. It talks about the tree of life, many leaves and fruit for the healing of the nations. It says, in my kingdom, there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would not say so. And people always say, well, what did Jesus look like? Well, in John, where John turned to see the Lord, he was standing brighter than the sun, had a long white flame gown, white woolly hair, white woolly beard, eyes like coals of fire, feet like shiny brass, crown of stars about his head, and a band of gold across his chest. He looked very much like John describes him. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. There are no human words to describe the fullness of God's glory, magnificence, and beauty. There are no human words. I might describe him as having eyes burning with love, But he used, I call the fire, because that's the only words he could come up with in those days. But like I said, I could describe him totally in a much greater way, but it wouldn't make any difference. It still wouldn't describe him fully. You just have to experience it and see it for yourself. Now, people always ask me, well, how big was Jesus? Well, when I looked at my reflection in the gold-colored glass robe, I looked very much like Jesus. When I went to be with him, when he said, when we go to be with him, we will be changed in an instant and become like him. Now, evidently, I must have borrowed my glorified body, because when I was there, I had the same kind of body Jesus had. I had the white woolly hair, the eyes like coal of fire, and the long man in white gown. But I still have my same features. I still look like me. And so, everything the Bible says confirms what I saw, so I know it was real, because I was blind and retarded and couldn't have known it at the time. And so, when I was, from the time I was 22 till I was 27, I was still just as disabled as I was before, but I kept saying, Jesus, I want to walk. Thank you, Jesus, I want to walk. Now, I knew nothing about miracles or healing. The church I went to was a Plymouth Brethren church, and they taught me that God made me that way for his purpose and his glory. Well, when you're told that, you just say, oh, well, praise the Lord. If you told another handicapped person that's like that, they would say, oh, well, if God made me this way, forget him. But I wasn't like that. I said, oh, well, praise the Lord. God bless me. And to be alive, I don't care. Thank you, Jesus. I just love the Lord. And so, anyway, I kept saying, Jesus, I want to walk. Jesus, I want to walk. Well, somehow, I got to where I could walk with this brace. And this is the way I walk. I had a real hard time walking. And this is the way I would walk in the braces. And it looked like I was going to fall all the time. It scared everybody half to death. But I did it. And to the doctors, they said, you're not going to be able to walk. Well, I did anyway, so praise the Lord. And so, it was so hard for me to walk. I didn't walk all the time, but I walked. And then, when I was 27 years old, my mother's friend came over one day, and she was very excited about this woman who had a pinched nerve in her back, and she got into a car accident, and she was bedridden for 3.5 years, and they gave her surgery, and it didn't help, and she went through a miracle service, and God healed her and made her completely well, even better than she was before the car accident. My mother said, that's just a bunch of baloney. That's just something to make money. And my mother's friend said, well, you know, that's what I thought, but I saw this woman, and she really had a miracle. She said, would you like to go and take her out? There's going to be a miracle service up in Sacramento, California. And she mentioned the name Catherine Coleman. When she mentioned the name Catherine Coleman, a little bell went in my brain, like, ding dong, because before I was a Christian, I was banging my knob on my radio, looking for a good music station, and all of a sudden, this strange woman with a strange voice comes on the radio, and she goes, hello there, and have you been waiting for me? So I said, no, I haven't, and I got the knob to try to shut her off. But before I got to the knob to shut her off, she started talking about God healing people. Well, I thought, now, I know a lot of handicapped people, and I don't know anybody that's ever been healed by God. But I thought, it can't be on the radio and TV if it's not real, so I forgot about it. So the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to start listening to Catherine Coleman, because I was a Christian for 7.5 years. So I went up to my room, and I banged my knob on my radio until I heard, I believe in the miracles because I believe in God. And she started saying, Jesus was the same today, Jesus Christ was the same today as he was yesterday. And my spirit, I went, that's right. And by Jesus' stripes, you were healed. And my spirit, I went, that's right. And the word of God was sent and healed them. And my spirit, I went, that's right. And the word of God was healing to your bones. And my spirit, I went, that's right. And everything she said, in my spirit, I knew it was true. In my mind, I didn't understand it or comprehend it. So I said, Lord, thank you, Jesus, I want to go. Thank you, Jesus, I want to go. Now, I didn't want to go there to be healed because I didn't understand healing. But I felt the anointing and presence and spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ there over the radio, and I wanted to go and be where the wonderful presence of my wonderful Lord Jesus Christ was. Now, that was in my church once in a while, but because they weren't filled with the Spirit, they didn't have the same anointing. So I wanted to go because I felt that. And so the day came that we were supposed to go, my mother got me up, and she put my braces and my clothes on, and she said, now, Ralph, let me feed you your breakfast this morning because we don't have the time to clean the food off the ceiling. Because when I jerked around, I ate and threw food everywhere. So I said, okay. See, I wanted to feed myself because when my mother fed me too fast, I'd be like a garbage disposal, blah, 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 and I'd be all over the place. So I wanted to feed myself, but it made a big mess. So I let her feed me. And we got up to Sacramento, but they were so enthusiastic about taking me, they got me there late. And if you don't get into the service early, you just don't get in because people wait there 3 or 4 days on the auditorium steps to get in. And so these services were so anointed.
And so I'm standing on the stairway, and I'm kind of wobbling around in my braces. And I couldn't stand perfectly still. I'd be standing there, and all of a sudden I'd go like this. Well, I'd go like this, you know, because I had muscle spasms, and I kind of jerk around. And so this officer, he was there to control the mob. And my mother's friends bang on these big glass doors where the ushers are trained not to pay any attention to the public. If they open the door for one person, a whole mob will rush in on them. And so the officer comes up to my mother's friend and says, "What's going on here?" And she's pointing over to me and she says, "He's pretty bad and he needs to get into receiving healing." And so he saw me over on the stairway and I'm going like this and wobbling around. And so he comes over and he says, "Now, son, I'm sorry. There's no room for you to sit down in the office. You'll just have to go home now." I went,
I got to get in. I got to get in.
And he goes, "Oh, boy." And he goes over and... When they open the door and said, what's happening? He said, "There's a man here who's pretty bad, and he looks like he's going to fall off the stairs, and he's wobbling around like he's going to fall any minute. And when I tell him to leave, he just makes funny noises and points to the door, and he won't go away." I said, "Could you take him in?" He said, "Well, the only thing we could do with him is stand him up back against the wall." He said, "Well, anything. Just get him out of my hair." So they said, "Okay." They came out, and they started walking me in. And my mother said, "Now, be careful. He kind of kicks when he walks. Well, you saw how I walked, so you know what she's talking about." So they took me in, and they were praying in the spirit, and I didn't know what they were doing. And so they stood me back up against the wall. I was standing there, and all of a sudden, I'd be kind of jerking around like this, and all of a sudden, this warm beam of heat came over me like an infrared ray lamp. I went, "Ugh." I said, "I don't know what that was, but thank you for it anyway, Lord." Well, you remember when John came, when John was baptizing, and Jesus came, he says, "One is coming. Whose sandal I'm unworthy to untie. I baptize you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." We know it being baptized with the Holy Spirit, but the fire is something that's a little different. It's a cleansing process that God does, and it's more becoming more and more prevalent in the last days. And so, when this happened to me, it was like a spiritual bubble bath. Just went over me and cleansed me, and I noticed I didn't have any more dandruff or pimples anymore. And I was standing there, and all of a sudden, the room got real bright. And I thought they'd turn on a bunch of lights right around me. Because I only had a few of my optic nerves and a few of my retina nerves working, I had to have a real bright light to make out anything. I can only make something out right up next to my face, a little bit. And so I thought they'd turn on a bunch of lights, but my optic nerves and my retina nerves were starting to function. Now, my head used to jerk around like this and flop around like this. And I was looking up, and all of a sudden, these... ceiling got all lumpy, and I'm going, "Ooh, this is getting weird. I must be freaking out. I got to get out of here." And the Lord said, "Now, Ralph, be calm. There's more coming." And all of a sudden, these lumps became clear, and this particular auditorium had a big dome ceiling with all these pretty wooden designs around it. And I'm going, "Oh, those are pretty. Oh, that's nice." And I'm like, "Wow, they're up there, and I'm down here, and I can see them." I look in front of me. I could see Captain Kuhlman in the choir. And Captain Kuhlman had one of these microphones, but it didn't have the spuds on it. It was all black. And so I thought, "Why, that looks like a black ice cream cone. How come she's not licking that?" Well, I found out real fast why you don't lick these things. You know? So anyway, I found that out later after I was healed. I was speaking in one of these one days without the spuds on it, and I found out real quick. But anyway, so all of a sudden I saw this great big giant thing with big teeth. And when I started playing it, I realized it was a piano. And I let my mother and her friend in. They were very skeptical, and so they started making fun of the service. So not too much more happened to me. Now, I had real thick bubble glasses. They were real thick, and I can only see out of the very middle just if I bun up something next to my face. I didn't wear them that day because my head jerked around, and the side piece came loose, and my mother was afraid I was flying them off my face, so I didn't wear them. So that when I got home, I found out that I couldn't see out of my glasses. They were a big, fuzzy mess. My mother says it's always been a big, fuzzy mess, but I said it's a bigger, fuzzier mess than it's always been. So she said, "You're just excited from yesterday. It'll go away." So I thought, "I hope not." So when I went to the ophthalmologist, he looked at my eyes and said, "Your eyes look so much bigger and stronger and clearer. What medicine have you been taking? What doctors have you been going to?" I said, "I just went to a miracle service and God made me better." He said, "Well, I don't understand." So anyway, I wanted to go to another miracle service, but this time without my mother and her friend. And I found out, now I lived in the Bay Area in Oakland, and that's right next to San Francisco. And there was a woman that arranged groups and went down to the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, which is about 600 miles away, every month. So I wanted to go. When I called this woman, she couldn't understand my garbled speech. She said, "There's no room to go with the group." So I went, uh-oh. So with help, I made reservations on another plane for the same day. I got up at I got up at 4 in the morning. I said, thank you, Jesus, help me to get dressed. Thank you, Jesus, help me to get dressed. Now, my hands were all twisted up in a big knot. I could not buckle, snap, or tie. I could only help pull my shirt and pull my pants. But somehow, the Holy Spirit supernaturally helped me to get my braces on, my clothes on, and I got up to the bus stop. I got about 2 feet away from the bus, and the bus came. But because I wasn't right at the door, they closed the door and took off. So I'm yelling and screaming. And by the time the next bus came, I missed my plane. So by the time I got to the airport, I was ready to cancel out. And this PSA fellow, he's lit up like a smile button. And he goes, praise the Lord, are you going to the Captain Kuhlman service? So I thought, how do you know that? And I shook my head no, and I gave him the ticket. He said, well, the Captain Kuhlman group's plane is still here. It's been held up. Now, my plane was supposed to leave at 8:30 in the morning. Captain Kuhlman's plane was supposed to leave at 9, and it was near 9:30. So the next time you're a little bit late for something, don't worry about it. If you're in the Spirit, you're always on time.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I got another testimony about that I'm not going to share right now. But anyway, so I said, there's no room to go with the group. He said, that's all right, we can put you on as part of the public. Now, when I had to go on the steps, I had to throw my leg way around and up on the step, and the other leg way around and up on the step. Well, I couldn't use my hands because if I grabbed onto something, I'd just let go of it and throw it. So I started up the stairs, and I said, and these porters said, we're going to have to help you. You're going to give some poor little old lady a heart attack, and us too. And so they got behind me, and they started helping me, and they get me up 4 or 5 steps, and I clobber and go down a few, and get up 4 or 5 more, and they get clobber and go down a few more. It was like trying to get Charlie the Tuna and Francis the Mule up this.